morning, First Baptist Church. This is Angela.
Morning, Angela. My name's Alan Miracle.
I'm a local Christian. I actually live in Norman. But I wanted to talk to a member of the pastoral staff about the behavior of one of the members of First Baptist Church. So I was wondering if there might be anybody I could talk to.
That's okay. That would be our pastor, Andy.
Okay.
Andy Finch is his name. And if you could hold on just 1 minute, I'll see if I can track him down.
Thank you.
All right.
Andy?
Hello, Brother Andy. My name is Alan Miracle. I'm just a local Christian living in Norman. This is a little bit unusual, but I wanted to talk to you about something, and maybe this would be better. Maybe I could arrange to have an appointment with you at some time that's convenient. But basically, the gist of why I'm calling is because I become aware that there is a new abortion facility being constructed in Oklahoma City. And I have driven by it several times, and I have seen a truck, actually several trucks, belonging to Yarbrough & Sons Heat and Air outside of this facility, and I have learned that they are participating in the renovation of this of what's going to become this abortion facility, Women's Center. And I have actually reached out to Yarbrough & Sons, and I've talked to Darren personally a couple times and pled with him to abandon the project. And he is unfortunately not proven willing to do that. And I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, and I wanted to maybe talk about the situation with you.
Well, I would be interested to talk to you to help me just kind of get a baseline of since I've never met you, to kind of know a little bit more about you. You said you live in Norman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is your church home there in Norman?
It's a small church. It's called Door of Hope Church.
Door of Hope.
Yeah, we don't have a building. We're mostly like a house church.
Okay. So, like, do y'all meet weekly for worship, Bible study, that kind of thing?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we meet weekly for worship.
Again, it just kind of gives me a perspective on your theological background and biblical approach. And not every church is part of a denomination or whatever, but obviously there's a difference in a Catholic church from a Presbyterian, from a Methodist, and just kind of gives me a frame of reference of somebody's background. What denomination do y'all affiliate with, or do you most closely align with?
Sure, it's no problem. You can ask me anything you want. It's not a problem at all. So we're not part of a denomination. We call ourselves an abolitionist church, but honestly, our doctrine would align very closely with like the Baptist Faith and Message.
Okay. When you say abolitionist church, I'm assuming you don't mean like abolitionist like slavery.
Well, we actually do kind of mean that, but obviously, you know, slavery is not a very big problem, or you know, legalized.
Sure.
Yeah, legalized slavery is not. We call ourselves abolitionists, and particularly of human abortion. But abolitionists really is more of a mindset and an ideology for, you know, how one addresses evil, especially accepted and legalized evil in one's society. So there's a whole thing behind why we call ourselves that, and I'm happy to, you know, share it with you. It's just I don't want to overwhelm you with a lot of detail right now.
Sure. Well, we as a church, we believe in the sanctity of human life that's created by God and bearing in the image of God, and we try to address abortion on all fronts. Like, I'm very proud to say we have people in our church who have adopted children who would have been maybe described by some as unwanted from people who had no intention of keeping them or raising them. And we support a lot of I guess they used to be called crisis pregnancy centers. I think that now the names have changed because that seems a little threatening to women. What are some of the ways y'all involved in the, kind of in the little larger picture of the abortion issue?
Sure. Well, when I said we're a small church, I mean we're, you know, probably 40, well, I think 40 adults or less, but we keep having children, so that keeps kind of jacking up the numbers of people involved. But anyway, we are often found outside the abortion mill in Norman. We plead for lives there. We sidewalk counsel. We preach the gospel there. We have built up resources and have distributed resources for women in crisis pregnancies and children of those crisis pregnancies. So we offer and provide assistance as well as a church, directly to women that we have encountered. We also really try to obey Ephesians 5:11, you know, having to do with exposing fruitless deeds of darkness, and other passages like Proverbs 31:8-9. And also Isaiah 58 and things like that, which command Christians to cry out against injustice and expose oppression and, you know, establish righteousness and that sort of thing. So we take there's a lot of things that we do. We engage in open air preaching sometimes. We distribute literature, just kind of like gospel tract type stuff very often. We sometimes go and hold signs with various messages on them in the wider culture. We have also, as a matter of fact, recently started pursuing legislative action toward the abolition of abortion. There was a recent Senate bill that was unfortunately defeated by the Republican leadership of the state Senate, but we were the ones who put that up. Senate Bill 1118. And it had to do with the total abolition of abortion. So these are things, these are some of the things that we do.
Well, I can't pretend to and won't get into any issues of how anybody runs their business. I know how the church operates, so I won't try to get into that. And I would imagine there's a good chance you're recording this conversation anyway. But I would like to know just kind of what is your philosophy of how Christians should treat Christians whenever there's an issue that needs reconciliation.
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to answer the question on its merits. I don't believe that there is really a problem that requires reconciliation here. Just to clarify why I'm calling. So if I gave that impression, I apologize. I didn't mean to communicate it. I think that as far as reconciliation goes, there's numerous passages that apply, like Galatians 6:1-4, bearing one another's burdens and seeking to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves so that you won't also be tempted, with respect to like sin against an individual. Matthew 18 is definitely applicable. Various others.
Let me be real direct.
Sure.
Do you think it is Christ honoring to publicly defame somebody through Facebook posts, things like that, as a means of trying to sort out with them something that may deal with your practices of abortion and all that kind of stuff? Do you think that that's ever an appropriate methodology of trying to resolve that issue.
Sure.
Do you think that's a Christ-honoring method of public attacks and things like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess it sounds like you are at least sort of familiar with the situation as it stands now, and I'm not trying to play cloak and dagger here.
I would like to hear how you feel about that, if you feel like that is an honorable and Christ-like way of addressing a problem.
Sure, yeah. And just to clarify, that I am one of the people who has been, engaging in this online exposure and stuff, so... It is good that you're addressing it with me for sure, and I want to reason with you and talk about it. So the reason why I have done these things is because when I became aware that the facility that they were working on was...
Well, let me back up. I know that part. Just real simple terms, do you feel like that is a Christ-like and honorable method of resolving the problem?
Yeah, okay. So the problem here is that with full knowledge... Yarbrough and Sons has continued to work on this facility knowing what it was going to become. Okay?
We can get to that. I want to back up because I think that is a relevant question. Do you feel like that's an appropriate way for a believer to rectify a situation, to harass people online and try to publicly assassinate their character?
Sure, I understand. I don't believe that anybody has engaged in attack or defamation or character assassination. What I believe is happening is...
Wait. I would beg to differ. So let me just ask you again. Can you answer yes or no? Let's put it that way. Yes, it's okay, or no, it's not okay, to harass somebody in a public forum as a measure of rectifying a situation. Is that a Christ-honoring tool to rectify a situation?
Okay, I don't think that it is good to harass people, no.
Okay, good. And in a public forum like that, is that an effective and useful and God-honoring means of doing it? And yes or no? Don't give me a bunch of backstory.
Okay, I do not believe that harassment is good, God-honoring, or effective.
Good. Do you feel like that as believers we should always act with honesty and integrity?
Yes.
Good. Is your real name Alan Miracle or Alan Peoples?
I don't know who Alan Peoples is. My real name is Alan Miracle.
That's your given birth name. Mom and dad are Mr. and Mrs. Miracle.
Yeah, what's yours? Is your real name Andy Finch?
It is.
Good.
It is.
Okay, I don't know who Alan Peoples is. I really don't. Darren mentioned that name to me yesterday. I don't know who it is.
Okay. And my suggestion to you would be that if you have what you feel like is a legitimate issue to resolve with Darren and Yarbrough, that the most God-honoring thing would be to stop the attempts at public harassment and humiliation. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where if you really go to church, you're really a Christian brother, and he is your Christian brother, you may not be informed of what he's doing. And you would have to work out that out with him, but not in a way that harasses him or his workers or his family or his business. I can't find a scriptural basis for that methodology for rectifying a situation that a Christian brother has with another Christian brother.
Okay. Brother, I don't believe that anybody has engaged... Well, I don't know about Alan Peoples. I don't know who that is. So maybe somebody has harassed Yarbrough and Sons or Darren personally or whatever... but nobody of whom I am aware has engaged in harassment. I do not believe that what I am doing is harassment of any kind.
You did not encourage, just to be clear, anybody to go on Yarbrough & Sons' Facebook page and post things about being baby killers or blood on your hands, all that kind of stuff.
I did encourage people to post reviews on the Facebook page. I did not say you are baby killers. I encouraged people to post on the Facebook page saying things like you have contributed and aided and abetted the sacrifice of children, and you do have blood on your hands because you knew and you did not walk away from the project as you should have done. So I did do that, but I don't believe that that's harassment or defamation or character assassination.
Well, you and I have very different definitions of those things. I just I don't see it in Scripture how that is a profitable or sustainable methodology of resolving an issue that you have like this. And I don't know who your pastor is, but I can't imagine that he supports that or preaches that and teaches that. That would be an effective or God-honoring method of resolving the situation.
My church is, just to clarify, brother, my church is fully on board with all of the things that we're doing. As a matter of fact, many people from my church have participated in this this exposure. And to clarify, I don't think that there is sin that Darren has committed against me. I think that the problem here, well, I mean, not at the beginning. I think the problem here is that when I brought the fact that he is working on an abortion mill to his attention, he did not do the right thing. And when he was asked again by another Christian, by a pastor in Anadarko, he also did not do the right thing, but in fact treated him like an adversary, not a brother in Christ. So Darren is not acting in a godly fashion. He's actually sinning right now. And that's one of the reasons why I'm coming to you.
I couldn't disagree with you more. And I'm pretty sure, again, you're probably recording this, going to twist it and make me out to be something I'm not. I think you're probably already very skilled at that. But I just would say to you that Darren has nothing but a track record of being a God-honoring man. And I assure you that he is proceeding with prayer and caution. And I can't tell you how much that I would trust that as he and his family sort this out, that they are seeking the Lord, and that whatever he does next will be exactly what he believes the Lord to do. And you trying to take the speck out of his eye without working on the plank in your own and being a crusader for Christ in your own mind, I don't know what that does for you or how that works for you, but I kind of get the sense that it is probably very empowering to you and gives you a sense of great significance in this world. But I would just say that Christian brothers attacking other brothers and seeing that as their primary purpose in life seems to run counter to the gospel. I can't tell you how much we preach and teach and embrace being pro-life at every stage and in every facet, every way. And I know that at least to share that conviction and commitment, and I would encourage you that you pray that God would lead them, and whatever they do next will be the most God-honoring and most obedient thing to him. Harassing him and pressuring him and going to his workplace and all that kind of stuff, I think is time well wasted, not time well spent. And I would encourage you to pray for him and to trust that he is going to seek the Lord just like you do on a daily basis, and that this is just not honorable to God. It's not appropriate, and it is attacking your brothers instead of finding ways to attack the real problem.
Brother, in what way do you believe that continuing to work on a facility like this is justifiable?
I'm not going to even respond to that because I think no matter how I say it, you're going to twist it, and I'm just not going to give you that opportunity.
How could I twist it if you're on record, and it, let's just say hypothetically this were being recorded? Like, how could I go about twisting your words if with unedited audio?
I don't know, but I think you probably have more experience of that than I do. So I will let everything else I've said stand. And all I can tell you is, even though I think your aspirations are noble, your methodology is dishonorable. And I hope you spend as much energy adopting children that might be aborted and things like that as you are shouting at people and holding and waving signs at people that you are pro-life, not just enough to stand in front of a clinic, but to go well beyond that, that you're engaging in rescuing children and women and being a proactive part of the solution. As I'm very proud to say that there are people in our church who are doing just that and working at children's homes and things like that, where they are addressing it all along the spectrum and not just in one part of it. That's really actually the easiest part of it.
Yeah, brother, and it's clear that
I've really got to go to Easter egg hunt for some kids here at our church. And I'm sure you have a hang up with that too somewhere or another.
Brother,
all
please.
I can say is, I think what you're doing is driven by right motivations in a bigger sense, that pro-life is biblical and sound, but your methodology, I think, is embarrassing and shameful, and probably is doing much more to harm the goal of seeing abortion ceased in America than it is to profit it. That you're probably turning more people away from your cause and attracting it because your methodology is so counter to the spirit of Christ.
I believe that you have a great deal of misconceptions and misunderstandings about who I am, what I do, and the biblical reasoning behind it. But I understand that you do need to go. Could we make an appointment to sit down and talk at further length about this?
No, because I am not going to do anything that would give credence to your behavior.
Where have I sinned, brother?
I think that attacking a Christian brother on a public forum...
Sir, I'm not attacking.
It's dishonorable.
I'm not attacking,
and
sir.
And I don't think that there's anything in Scripture that says attack your Christian brother when you have a disagreement with
him. Brother, it's not just that we have a disagreement, and it's not that I'm attacking.
I don't want to waste my time giving you any kind of greater forum or giving you a greater opportunity to twist my words or to falsely... malign our church.
Sir, you have twisted my words. Brother, you're twisting my words.
And I think scripturally, until you cease and desist that methodology, I don't want to do anything that in any way, shape, or form gives credence to it. And I don't have any evidence of that. And so until that, I don't want to do anything that in any way gives any indication that I think the way you're carrying this out is appropriate.
But brother, you have engaged in twisting my words. I don't see how I'm twisting your words or the words of Darren. I've merely pointed out that he has refused to walk off of a project in which he's building a murder mill. I don't see what's complicated about it.
I will trust that his character and integrity that has had a long-standing journey in this community very publicly, that between he and God, he's going to sort that out in a way that in the end, that I think he will honor and obey God just as he has throughout his entire life, whatever that ends up meaning.
Well, brother, there's really not anything to sort out. You do not participate in the shedding of innocent blood. It's very clear from Scripture, isn't it?
Okay. I really do have to go, and I don't want to give you more of my time.
Yeah. You need to go to your Easter egg hunt, right, rather than talk about this.
So that whenever you edit and splice and cut and all that kind of stuff, what I want to make sure you add to everything is that we are unashamedly pro-life, and I am unashamed and of calling Darren not only a friend but a brother, and I am praying for him and trusting him as someone who has a lifelong pattern of facing every challenge and question and everything like that by going to Christ. I don't know what that's going to look like tomorrow, but I know that as he sorts this out, having you be a thorn in his side is not going to help make that better. And so all I can tell you is the bullying, the intimidation, the harassment, it doesn't honor God, and I can't see anywhere in Scripture where that's your appropriate methodology.
Sir, you're accusing me falsely of things that I do not do. You're twisting my words and accusing a brother.
I gotta go.
You gotta go to your Easter egg hunt, right?
And I would. I'm sure you probably won't adhere to this, but I can't tell you how much that if you have any inclination to publicly smear me or our church or anything like that, that you will stand before God for any dishonesty, any harassment, any false speech against us. And so I hope you will have the integrity to restrain yourself as much as I'm sure you'll be tempted to do that.
Sir, the one twisting words here is you, and accusing a brother is you, sir. That's what you've done consistently throughout the second half of this phone call, and it grieves me so much.
I don't know how you get that, but you must have had different logic and rhetoric courses than I did.
Well, sir, I've explained it to you several times. You've misdefined words such as harassment, defamation of character, character assassination, in which I have not engaged. You have assumed bad things about me without asking, and you assume evil motives of me as well.
I feel strongly about what I've already said. I don't want to waste any more time throwing my pearls to swine. Thank you. You have a good day.